Blog Talk Radio.
I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled with praise, with praise. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled with praise, with praise. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And we like to say good morning and welcome back to the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries Mentoring Kingdom Leadership, where Jesus Christ is the King and Jesus Christ is the Lord. I'm your host and your Kingdom Coach on this morning, Apostle Dr. Alfreda Bradford of the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you, especially those who are first-time visitors to our fellowship service. We greet you in the name of the Lord. Amen. And we invite you to come in and have a seat at the breakfast table. A spiritual breakfast for champions is about to be served. Because why? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And there is no time and distance in the spirit. Amen. And amen. We bless be the name of Jesus. We pray that everybody's having a beautiful, beautiful week. Amen. And your expectations are high. Amen. Because the Lord tells us that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He didn't say we couldn't have them. Amen. But he said we got to come up higher to get it. Amen. And amen. All right, I want to amen. Let me see. I think I'll read the scripture first. Amen. Same scripture that we shared with you. Amen. On our 5 a.m. service. Amen. Out of Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. And it reads, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen and amen. This is the blessed word of God for the blessed people of God. We want to talk to you this morning about your spiritual appetite and what are you hungry for. And we want to begin by looking in the life of our brother John. Amen. And we want to thank God for John. Amen. Hallelujah. John is the man whom Jesus loved. Amen. John is responsible for writing of the Gospels. Amen. St. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Amen. He is responsible for writing that book. He also is responsible for writing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. They are the epistles. Amen. Right before the book of Revelation. Amen. And he also, amen, writes, amen, in Revelation. Amen. He wrote the book of Revelation. So John is responsible for writing 5 books. And John, he is the younger brother of James. And beloved, he had a very, very rare distinction because he was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Glory be to God. We read about the disciple who put his face on Jesus' bosom. Amen. At the Last Supper. Amen. Well, amen. That was our brother John. Amen. The original of his name means whom Jehovah loves. And John's experience corresponded to his name. From the many references to this honored disciple, we can gather these facts: that he was a native of Galilee. His godly parents were probably the cousins of Jesus, and John was their youngest son. His mother followed Christ, ministered unto Christ, and she was also at the cross and among those who went to anoint the body of Christ with sweet spices. John's father was a fisherman, owning his own vessel and prosperous enough to hire servants. John himself was also a very, very successful fisherman. He was called to discipleship while he was cleaning his nets. He was the youngest of all the disciples. He was the Benjamin among the 12. He was one of the select where he had an opportunity to walk with Jesus, run with Jesus. He was in Jesus' inner circle, his cabinet of 3. We hear the Bible making reference to Peter, James, and John. So John was the inner circle, the closest 3. Then Jesus had, amen, the other disciples making 12. Then Jesus had another layer of disciples. Amen. They talk about the 70 disciples. Amen. But John was in the inner bosom. Amen. He was surnamed by Christ as a son of Boanerges because of his prophetic zeal and his resolution to witness for Christ. He was treated by Christ with greater familiarity than the others enjoyed. He had a more intimate relationship, amen, with Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that John sat right next to Christ at the Last Supper. He was entrusted with the care of the mother of Jesus after Jesus was crucified on the cross. When John died, beloved, he was almost 100 years of age, much older than a lot of people will ever see. And he wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote the 3 epistles that bear his name, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and also the book of Revelation, amen, that we want to take one look at today, amen, Lord's willing, amen. Beloved, from manifold references in all the 4 Gospels, the Acts and Revelation, see, beloved, we can develop these traits when we look at John's character. Number 1, beloved, we see that John had natural energy, okay? And we want to thank God for natural energy, because you can't get nothing done if you don't have any energy, amen? where we look in St. Mark, chapter number 3, amen, verse number 17, amen. And it tells us that James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, that's the John that we're talking about, to them he gave the name Boanerges, which means son of thunder. So Jesus, amen, named him that because of his energy. Glory be to God. Not only that, we see, beloved, when we look in the book of John and look at his character, we can take a look and be encouraged through his intolerance. Amen. When we read in the book of Mark, amen, chapter number 9, amen, and verse number 38, and it reads like this. It says, "Teacher," said John, this is John talking to Jesus, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." See, so John didn't tolerate no foolishness. Okay, so we can learn from that, beloved. Foolishness is not of God. Amen. Not only that, we can see his vindictiveness. When we read in the book of St. Luke, amen, chapter number 9, amen, and we read down in the 54th verse, and it reads like this. It says, "When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, 'Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?'" Oh, glory be to God. John was nobody to play with. Oh, John was like another Elijah. God, he said, "You want us to deal with this situation here? Because you know we can. You want us to do it?" Amen. Glory be to God. We also see, beloved, amen, that John had a lot of ambition. Amen. And we need some ambition if we're going to work in the Lord's kingdom. Now, some of us don't have a desire to work. Amen. But we know the Lord said that if you don't work, you don't eat. He's not talking about just punching a clock 9 to 5. He's not talking about you going and working at somebody else's job. Huh? The Lord, when the Lord said you don't work, you don't eat, he's talking about in his kingdom. Huh? You don't work in the Lord's kingdom and you don't eat. And you're going to find out in a minute, amen, hallelujah, that you got to eat. Amen. Mark chapter number 10, let us look at verse number 35. It says this: "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked them. They replied, 'Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.'" So, beloved, we see here that he had a lot of ambition. He was asking Jesus, he said, "Lord, can we sit with you in your kingdom? You know, me to the left and your brother my brother to the right." Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that type of ambition, beloved. Amen. We just have to keep everything in perspective. And Jesus had to help them understand what they were asking for. Amen. Not only that, beloved, we see that James was eager to learn. He was eager. You see some people, they're eager to get to the classroom. They're eager to get the Bible study. They're eager to get to the word. They're eager, amen, for our morning service. Why? Because they're eager. They're eager for the word. They're hungry for the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Just want to show you two more scriptures here. Amen, hallelujah, and we can find them in St. John, amen, the 13th chapter and the 23rd verse, and it reads like this. It says, verse 22, "His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved," talking about John, "was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to his disciples and said, 'Ask him which one that he means. Glory be to God. We see here, amen, in the book of 1 John, amen, which is one of the books that he authored, amen. Well, actually, Jesus is the author, amen. The St. John, amen, 1 John, amen, the second chapter, verse number 9. And it says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Amen. We see his eagerness to learn, you know, ever learn. And he just wanted to learn more about the Lord, learn more, amen, about the Lord's kingdom. Amen. We also see, beloved, that John, amen, was very sympathetic. Amen. He has sympathy. Amen. When we read in the book of John, amen, and we read in the 19th chapter and verse number 26, and it says this, it says, well, let's read 25 and 26. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing by, talking about John, he said to her, woman, here is your son. So here we see that John was also a man of sympathy and beloved. And when we read in 1 John chapter number 4, starting at verse 7, we also see, amen, John's love. Amen. So we want to thank God for, amen, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen. Well, we know Jesus loved all the disciples, but what the Bible is saying is that John and Jesus was very close. They was very, very close. Amen. There's nothing like having people close to you that you can trust, that you can talk to. You know, it's just a special thing. Amen. So that's just a little overview of John, and we're going to be looking some more at John. But today we just want to zero in, amen, in the book of Revelations. Amen. John is also responsible, amen, for writing this book. And the book of Revelations is, that's a special book. That's a special book when you get to that last book there. The whole Bible, amen, is God's, the mind of God on paper. But beloved, amen, if you really, really are serious about digging deep into God's word and becoming a student of God's word, start with the first book and the last book. There ain't nothing like the beginning, okay? So you got the book, the Genesis, amen. But then go to the last book. Revelation, my God. But I want to draw your attention this morning to the 10th chapter, amen, and the 9th verse in Revelation, amen. And it reads like this, hallelujah. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. Take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth, it will be sweet as honey. Glory be to God. Beloved, amen, hallelujah. We want to sort of pick up here, amen, where we left off, amen, on our early morning service, amen, talking about your spiritual appetite. Talking about your spiritual appetite, glory be to God. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? We see here, amen, where, amen, he was told, amen, to eat the scroll. Glory be to the living God. There are scriptures and references in Ezekiel. We just shared with Ezekiel with you a few days ago, amen. And in the book of Ezekiel, amen, the Lord told him to eat. Eat. In the third chapter of Ezekiel, amen, it says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat, amen, that thou find. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Amen. And fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Eating the word of God. Eat, 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 eat. The Bible tells us, beloved, amen, in the book of Isaiah, amen, chapter number 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you without money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor on that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of foods. Beloved, glory be to God. He tells us, hallelujah, that, hallelujah, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they shall be filled. What does your spiritual appetite look like, beloved? John went to the mighty angel and asked for the scroll. And promptly, the mighty angel gave him the scroll and commanded him to eat it. He told John that it would make his stomach bitter, but it would taste as sweet as honey. Beloved, it's not controversial to note that this is highly figurative language, but John's actions and reactions here are meant to symbolize the important spiritual ideas, not merely the eating. We're not talking about eating a piece of paper, beloved. The same thing, beloved, with Ezekiel. When Ezekiel received the command to deliver God's message to the rebellious Israel. See, he received the command. Ezekiel, amen, he saw a hand stretched out to him. He saw a scroll in the hand. And he heard the words, eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel, the Lord said. And when he ate the scroll, Ezekiel found that it tasted as sweet as honey. But later, beloved, as we keep reading, he experienced a bitterness. God's word contains a sweet message, and God's word contains a bitter message. And this is why the prophet Jeremiah testified, beloved, in Jeremiah 15 and 16, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. Beloved, the message of reconciliation and forgiveness is sweet, but the message of condemnation is bitter. The gospel is sweet to those who embrace it, but bitter to those who reject it. And John's eating of the scroll then carries the same symbolism as it did for Ezekiel. John is taking on the message of God in order to carry it to others. This is a sweet experience at first. As we talked a little bit last night on Bible study, glory be to God. But the aftermath brings pain and heartache. Communication with God, especially, beloved, in this type of way, will certainly be uplifting, knowing that the message is one of judgment and destruction. However, it's gut-wrenching, but somebody has to do it, beloved. They was told to eat the word. My question to you today is, what are you eating? What does your spiritual appetite look like? When Jesus was in the wilderness with the devil and tempted of the devil 40 days, when the devil came to him and tried to entice him, glory be to God, and get him to sin, because he was successful, amen, with the first Adam, and he wanted to try to bamboozle the second Adam, which was Jesus,
And Jesus said, not so. Jesus said, not so. It didn't work. Amen. But he tried to, amen, tempt Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And what did Jesus say? Hallelujah. Because he knew that Jesus was physically hungry. It's natural to be physically hungry. Jesus was hungry. Glory be to God. Huh? But Jesus said, what? Man shall live by the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, beloved. It is the word of God is our spiritual nutrition. It is our spiritual food. The same way you eat every day, all night. Some of you eat too much. Some of you don't eat enough. Some of you eat the wrong food. Thank God when you eat the right food. You have to eat foods that agree with you. And we have to eat, because if you don't eat, you die. Well, it's the same thing in the spirit. If you don't eat, beloved, in the spirit, you will die. You have to feed your spirit. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a body. You have to feed your spirit. And you feed your spirit, amen, through God's word. This is how your spiritual man grows. The same way when a baby is born into this world and you give that baby that milk, until that baby can eat a little pablum. Now the baby can eat a little bit something else. Next thing you know, amen, you blending up some chicken, huh, for that baby. What? Because the appetite is increasing. They can eat more. They can eat stronger now. This is how it should be in our spiritual life. But what we have is a group of God's people, too many of them, who are not feeding their spirits. And they're spiritually malnourished. And they're weak. And this is why they have no gumph and no energy to fight the devil, to fight the good fight of faith, to live the word, because they're not feeding their word. Beloved, God gives us 24 hours in a day. Most of us sleep about 8 of that, okay? Maybe more, maybe less, all right? Then you work in 8, all right? That only leaves 8 more, right? Those 8, what? You know you're gonna put your TV time in, all right? So you don't watch TV for about 4 or 5 hours. All right, you've been on the internet for about 2-3 hours. All right, did your other little running around, whatever, grocery store, this, that. How much of that 24 hours have you given to God? Just think about it. You sit there and you watch a movie for an hour and a half, 2 hours, won't even go to the bathroom until that movie's over. How much time did you spend in God's word today? You're too tired to read the word, but you got enough energy to watch that movie. You got enough energy to go on social media and read everybody posts and posting it and giving people too much information about yourself. Huh? Oh, you went and punched that clock. Well, you know, I got to get this money. I got to go to work. Yeah, why? Because you know I got to eat. Yeah, you got to eat. Well, oh, so you going to work so you can eat naturally? Well, what about spiritual? What about that? What about the real meal? Huh? Beloved, some of us, and I like Chick-fil-A. It's one of my favorite fast foods. Amen. Although the line is always long. All right. But you go through the drive-thru. All right. Well, our time is short. I'm just going to go through the drive-thru and get me a meal. We won't even go through the drive-thru in God's lane to get a meal. And we starve ourselves. And we starve ourselves, and we wonder why there's no spiritual muscles. We wonder why there's no power in our lives. We wonder why we're always leaning on somebody else. See, it ain't nothing wrong with leaning on somebody else, but beloved, from time to time, somebody needs to be leaning on you. But you ain't strong enough for nobody to lean in on you, because you could hardly stand. Why? Because you're weak. Huh? Give them something to eat because they weak. Give them some soup. Give them some food. We know that the food brings strength and nutrition. Well, if it works that way in the natural, it works that way in the spiritual. Beloved, we have to stop starving ourselves. When we eat, and this is why communion, those of us, amen, are in the church, amen, we're going to have Holy Communion this Sunday, Lord's willing. Amen. Holy Communion, that's one way we eat. But beloved, look, God's word, the Bible, is the mind of God on paper. This book is written to the Christian. This book is not for the unbeliever, because the natural mind cannot conceive the things of the spirit. So they just read the Bible. It's like a regular book to them. They don't know, because they have not been converted. The only thing this Bible is saying to the sinner is to repent. Beloved, when you spend time in God's word, you spend time with God. These are not just words on the paper. It's the living word. Jesus said, my word is life. You're spending time with God. When you, beloved, look, you don't have to just go and spend the whole day in the book. It's nice if you can. Start in 20-minute increments. Do 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the afternoon, 20 minutes at night. Get started. See? Because now you're spending time in God's word. You're knowing how God thinks. You're knowing the mind of God. You're knowing what God wants. Now you know how to meditate. Now you know what to think on. Now your mind is being renewed. Huh? You're saved by the word. You're kept by the word. Come on now. Now you're thinking the word. You're speaking the word. You're walking in the word till you become the word. He says, until this mind be formed in you. Beloved, you cannot be a Christian and not spend time with God. Beloved, I'm sorry to say, you got to really ask yourself, are you really born again? It's not even natural. When a child is born into this world, the first thing that baby wants is some milk. It prefers its mother's milk, but it'll take the cow milk. It don't care. Just give me some milk. It's not natural for you to say you're born again and you're not hungry for the things of God. You're not thirsty for the things of God. When Jesus was strung out on that cross on Good Friday, beloved, glory be to God, in the seven last sayings of Christ, the fifth saying that Jesus said was, I thirst. He was not talking about water or Kool-Aid or vodka, talking about his longing to be with the Father. It was the first time in eternity that Jesus was separated from his Father for 3 hours. And he longed. It probably seemed like eternity for him. He thirsts for the fellowship. He thirsts for the reconnection. He thirsts. He longed for it. Beloved, what are you thirsty for? I'm not talking about that beer and Kool-Aid and marijuana and sex and money and all that other stuff. What are you thirsty for? How can we be a child of God and not be thirsty for him? We should know when something is wrong. We should know when he's grieved. We should know. We should hear him calling us, beckoning us to just come and have a seat at his feet. Beloved, there should be times when you just spend time with Jesus. You're not asking him for nothing. You just want to be with him in meditation. Put that Bible close to your bosom. Shut everything off. Tell people you'll get back with them in a couple hours. You busy right now. And we should be having time with God every day the same way you feed. If you tell some people right now we're going to fast for 3 days, they look at you like you crazy. We fast every Wednesday in this ministry. We do 21 days of fasting in January. If you tell people, I want you to fast for 3 hours, they look like this. Well, you know, I got to take my medicine. You know, I got to eat. Well, guess what? The same way you got to eat in the physical is what you've been missing, is you got to eat in the spiritual, but you ain't been doing it. And you wonder why you're sick. And you wonder why you're depressed. And you wonder why things don't look good. Because we prosper as our soul prospers. If your soul is not prospering, nothing else is not going nowhere. It might look like it for a minute, but watch out, baby, because Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. You coming down because you can't go up. Because promotion comes from God. And if there's no fellowship, if there's no communion there, beloved, we have to start eating God's word. Faith cometh by hearing. You need to be listening to the word every day. You need to be reading the word every day. You need to be meditating the word every day. You need to be speaking the word every day. You need to be thinking the word every day. You need to be walking the word every day. Acts put it this way. In him we move, in him we live, in him we have our being. When I get my fish tanks, I don't want no pets. I don't want no pets, but I am going to get me an aquarium. And you see the fish in the water. And when you put that fish in the water in the aquarium, you got water underneath the fish. You got water on top of the fish. Everywhere that fish go, you got water. Well, that's how our life should be in Christ. Every place we go, we got God. In him we move. In him we live. In him we have our being. Beloved, it's time to get our spiritual appetite back. When a person hasn't eaten a long time in the spirit, in the physical, then maybe they're recovering from an illness, sickness, or whatever. What do? They start feeding them in small increments. All right? Just eat a little bit here, little soup there. Just get something in your body, get something in your system to give you some strength. Well, beloved, you got to start eating to give yourself some spiritual strength. You have to start feeding. And let me tell you something. It's good to have other people feed you. We thank God for the fivefold ministry, but it's time for you to start feeding yourself. Can you imagine you got a 15-year-old child and you got the bib on the child? I mean, not if the child is challenged, mentally challenged. That's a whole nother different situation. Okay. You got a bib on the child. Okay. And you breastfeeding your 15-year-old son. So somebody gonna lock you up. Somebody gonna, you going to jail. You going to jail. You know, open up Susan. Let me put the food in. Well, how old Susan? She be 15 on Saturday. And you still feeding her? Yeah. Something wrong with that picture. Why not Susan feeding herself? Beloved, why are you not feeding yourself, beloved? I'm just waiting for the pastor. What if the pastor don't show up? The pastor don't have no heaven or hell to put you in. Beloved, when the pastor come, you need to be charged up and ready to go. Already charged up. You ever been somewhere and said they say you want to eat? You said, no, I ate before I got here. A lot of times I do, depending on where I'm going. I already ate. I just take a little stuff. That's the way you need to be when the pastor show up. Oh, yeah, I read. Yeah, I had my Bible study. Yeah, I've been in the Word all this week. Yeah, I've been in the book. Come on now. Glory be to God. What are you hungry for? How is your spiritual appetite? What have you eaten lately? We see here Ezekiel was told to eat the Word. Amen. John was told to eat the word. Jeremiah was told to eat the word. Beloved, and we are told to eat the word. He says, oh, taste and see. He didn't say, glory be to God, oh, look and see. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord God, he is good. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Then the Lord tells us, beloved, a blessed. See the blessing and hungering after the Lord. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a blessing. You cannot walk with God and not be blessed. It's impossible. It might look like you're losing, but if that's you winning while it look like you're losing. It's no way possible. God always takes care of his own. He's not a deadbeat daddy. See, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Amen. I want to, amen, as we see John, and we're going to talk some more about John, but John had to eat the word, and he was Jesus' right-hand man. They was bosom buddies, and he still had to eat the word. Beloved, me and you have to eat the word, too. See, because our physical food, after we eat that, a couple hours the next day, okay, well, we're going to be on the toilet flushing that all away. Our body pulls out the nutrients, the vitamins, if it's any in it, if it's depending on what you're eating. Huh? That's all going down the toilet. Schuylkill River, here it come. But what we eat in the spiritual, beloved, is going to take us to our destiny. What we eat in our spiritual, that is eternal. That's eternal. What's your appetite? What's your appetite look like? We want to pray today that your craving, your hunger will begin to come back. Your hunger will begin to come back. Sometimes I'm sitting here and I say, you know what? I feel like a little spaghetti. Oh, I felt like some spaghetti and meatballs. I hadn't had spaghetti and meatballs in a long time. And I felt like some on Sunday, and I'm telling you, it's the best spaghetti and meatballs. If I had a restaurant, I would have sold out. See, because I had a craving and a hunger for some spaghetti and meatballs. Beloved, we ought to have a craving and a hunger for the things of the kingdom on a daily basis. On a daily basis. A hunger and a thirst. And the more you eat, the more you want. I used the analogy this morning. Amen. Like that spaghetti and meatballs I made when my grandchildren came over this week. I was able to share some with them. Amen. You ever had something good? Somebody fixed something good? Every time I go to my mama house, I don't care what she cooking is good. And y'all would say, just give me a little bit more. Just give me a little bit more of them collard greens. Got any more of that potato salad? Can I take a little bit home? Because it's good. You just want some more. See? And that's how it ought to be. Amen. With our walk with God, the more you get, the more you want. Give me you. God, I just can't get enough of you. I just can't get enough. See, you can never get to a place in God where you say, well, I'm full. I don't need no more God. I'm good. I can go the rest of my life. No. The more you get, the more you want. The song says, as a deer panteth after the waters, O my soul longeth after thee. And that's where we should be, beloved. The more we get thirsty. And, you know, nothing quenches your thirst like water. You can drink Kool-Aid. You can drink Pepsi. You can drink whatever you want to drink. You're going to still be thirsty. Okay? You drink a little Gatorade. You're still going to be thirsty. But nothing quenches your thirst like water. That's why water is good for you. And those of you who don't drink water need to be drinking some more. And naturally. But also, the Bible considers the word of God the living water. See, the water we drink in the flesh, yeah, we're going to take that to the bathroom, too. And some of us in the bathroom quite frequently. Quite frequently. Huh? Why? Because we're going to flush that down the Schuylkill. But the living waters. The living waters. Amen. That's that thing that's going to last you for eternity. What does your spiritual appetite look like? I want to encourage you to begin eating the word today. Ask God to forgive you for your slothfulness, because we all know we can do better. We all know we can do better. I want to challenge you to spend how much time you spend, how many hours you spend watching TV in a week. Just write it down on a piece of paper. It's just for you. All right? So you come up with your answers. Then I want you to put how many hours you spend sleeping. I want you to break your day down in hours. And I want you to really, really, really be honest. How much time do you spend with God? God gives you 24 hours a day. How much time? Now, let me say this, and I'm finished. We speak about tithing. When we speak about tithing, okay, most of the time we're speaking about giving God our time. I mean, giving God money. Okay, and we know that the minimum requirement is 10%. But beloved, as a good steward, amen, and of time is precious, amen, you ought to be tithing your time. So if God gives you 24 hours in a day, if you tithe your time, a minimum of 2.5 hours need to be, amen, given back to him. A minimum of 2.5 hours, and you can't tell me you don't have 2.5 hours to give. 2.5 hours a day spending time. Imagine what your life's going to look like in the next month, in the next year, with you spending a minimum of 2.5 hours with God in his word, in his fellowship, sitting at his feet. And you don't have to do the whole thing at one time. You may be 30 minutes here, 1 hour here, come back, do another 30 minutes. If you develop that discipline of spending time with God, being hungry, you can't wait to get to him. You ever been in a rush and, look, I got to go. My daughter's waiting for me. I got somebody waiting for me. I got to go. I got to get. Can you imagine being that way in the spirit? Like, I got to go. No, I got to spend some time with God. See y'all. I'll call you when I'm finished. I'll call you when I'm finished. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. Imagine what your life would look like. Imagine how God would be well pleased. God is so pleased with you hungering and thirsting after righteousness and fellowship with him that he calls you blessed. He didn't call you cursed. He calls you blessed. He says, blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who thirst after righteousness. What does your appetite look like, saints? Amen and amen. Woo! Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for the word of God on today. Thank you for speaking, Father. God, we just want to say we're guilty. We just so guilty. Forgive us. Help us to forgive ourselves. And starting today, if we can only start by putting in an extra 5 minutes every day, may we begin this day, Father, to make sure that we feed ourselves. We thank you for the meal that we receive from the table, but help us to feed ourselves. We know how to pick up the spoon and the fork and begin to feed and allow you, the Holy Spirit, to illuminate us and break the scriptures down to us and show us revelations that maybe our bishops haven't even seen, Father. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, starting this day, may our appetite increase, our hunger increase, our thirst, our spiritual thirst increase for the things of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. We bless the Lord. Amen. And to God be all the praise, and to God be all the glory, and to God be all the honor. Thank God for the word of God that will not ever, ever, ever return into him void, but will always accomplish everything that the Lord has sent it forth to do. In form of announcements, we will be at the altar of prayer today at 12 o'clock, back at 9 o'clock. We invite you to come. Amen. Let us pray, saints. Whew, God, let me tell you something. I used to watch the news every day, the world news. I try to at least watch the world news and know what's going on in the world. Things so bad, I'm going to tell you the truth, beloved. I done moved to every other day. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Lord Jesus, have mercy. We need to know what's going on so we know how to pray. And Lord, have mercy. That's all I can say. Beloved, amen, we got to keep praying. We know sometimes you get tired, amen, glory be to God. That's why you got the hunger and thirst. Get yourself some spiritual energy so you can have, you can't pray when you ain't got no energy. You can't do nothing when you don't have energy. You can't even lie down when you get energy. You can flop down. You can't even get up because you don't have no energy. See? Glory be to God. When we eat God's word and have fellowship with God, we have the energy. It takes energy to pray. And God is counting on us. That's why he has us here. We could have died yesterday. Your neighbor died yesterday, but it could have been you. But God has us here for a reason. He's counting on us to pray. If my people call by my name, will pray, counting on us. Saints, don't get tired of praying. Don't get tired of praying. Hallelujah. Keep praying. You don't always have to be on your knees. Get creative with it. Just pray. Glory be to God. We want to pray because our country is in a turmoil, beloved. Our world, not just the United States, the world. The world is in a turmoil. I mean, come on, how many, if now they done moved from COVID to something else and got the little babies in the hospital, what? It's an attack against our young people, against this generation, against the babies. What's going on in the White House? Nuclear war threats? Bloodshed and murder? Home invasions? Carjackings? Come on, y'all. Let's pray. God knows us pray. Glory be to God. And who knows, it might even be worse than what it is now if we wasn't praying. Let's keep on praying. Let's keep on praying. God knows. Hey, wait a minute now, and I'm about to close. See, don't wait until it get up to your doorstep to get to want to pray. See, when it start affecting your family. See, now we talking something different, ain't we? The conversation done changed now. See, before it was the people on TV family, the people around the corner family. Huh? But what happens when that rascal start knocking on your doorstep? Now it's you. Now it's your children. Now it's your money. Now you want everybody to pray. Well, where was you at when they needed prayer? You reap what you sow. Come on, y'all. Let's pray and keep on praying. Jesus did it. Jesus did it until the last hour. And if Jesus did it, you know we got to do it too. And he was Jesus. Let's pray. Don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. God will hear your cry. For the Lord has answered. And his word is true. Saints, don't stop praying. God will answer you. Amen and amen. Tomorrow night, amen, praise party night. Friday night, praise party. Come on, come on. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Bring your own praise. Come with your songs. Come with your testimonies, your readings, your prayer, whatever you got, bring it. Whatever you got, bring it. Amen. Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, Lord's willing. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, that's it for today. Father God, we say thank you. We bless you. We magnify you. We praise you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the living word. Thank you for speaking to us through the word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for forgiving us for being lazy. Forgive us for making excuses. Forgive us for putting everything else before you, making time for everything. There's nothing wrong with watching a movie. But there is something wrong when we watch more movies than when we watch the word. Oh, Father God, in the name, there's nothing wrong with social media. But, Father God, there's something wrong when we spend more time on social media than we spend in your word. Now we're in trouble. Father God, forgive us for having our priorities all mixed up. But, Father God, we say thank you for the word today that's helping to bring everything back into perspective, where we can put you first and keep you first and seek ye first the kingdom of God. And when we do that, all these other things shall be automatically added unto us, even without us praying for it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time today. We cancel bad news, tears, and sorrow, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives and over our families. We bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and we seal this prayer by the word, the blood, and the spirit, and decree and declare that Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled, and Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. Amen, amen, and amen. Love you. Meet you at the prayer altar today. Amen. Back again tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock on social media, and back here, amen, at the breakfast table. Amen. Dr. Alfreda, Philadelphia, signing out. Blessings on blessings. Amen on blessings. Amen. Love you, love you, love you.
Give
love
me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can't wait. Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. 'Cause it's me.
Give me you. I just hope I'm not.